Hello, friends. Welcome to Islington Listens, wisdom from a community of faith that doesn't think the same, vote the same, or love the same, but we are trying our best to follow in the way of Jesus with compassion and hope. On the third Sunday of the season of Easter, we remember that in the afternoon, on that first Easter day, two followers of Jesus walked away from Jerusalem towards Emmaus, about 11 kilometers away. And I can imagine that you would have seen them shaking their head along the road in amazement, wondering what they had just experienced and talking about it. The empty tomb, the cross, the empty tomb. What did it all mean? They didn't notice that a stranger joined them along the road. And the stranger listened until he asked them, "What are you talking about?" And they turned to him and said, "Where have you been? Are you the only one in Jerusalem who doesn't know what has happened these past 3 days?" And so he asked them what happened. And as they were telling them, he responded, "Listen." And he opened the scriptures for them. He said, "Don't you remember when we were trapped in Egypt that God gave us Moses to lead us out through the water to freedom? And don't you remember that when we were trapped in our freedom in the desert that God gave us through Moses the Ten Commandments? And don't you remember that when we were trapped in our exile, that God gave us the prophets who would say and guide us that a little child would lead us and that someone would suffer and die in order that we would be alive?" They listened to him unpacking the scripture so long that the day had passed and they arrived in Emmaus. And just as he was about to go, they asked him to stay. And he did. And as they went into the inn, they sat at table. He took bread. And he blessed it. And he broke it. And in that moment, they recognized who he was. And he was gone. They stayed a little bit longer at table talking. And then they slowly got up and hurried back to Jerusalem to tell the rest of them what had happened. They remembered that their hearts had burned along the road. And their hearts continued to burn, for they knew him in the breaking of the bread. I wonder if you've heard this story before. I wonder what part of this story you like the best. I wonder what part of this story you think is most important. And I really wonder what part of this story is about you. I wonder what the prayers were on the disciples' hearts as they set out tired and hungry at the end of the day on that dry, dusty, well-trodden road that led away from Jerusalem. I wonder what prayers might have been on your heart. Why, God, why? Why has this happened to me, to us? Where are you, God? Why did you let us down? How could he die? How could he be gone? What do we do now? What do we do next? I wonder when you've ever prayed any of those same prayers. For the disciples had such hopes and plans and dreams of what it meant to follow Jesus and how it all felt like those all died when he died. in any ending in our lives, any time of grief, any moments of conflict, any time of change, we find ourselves with fears, worries, questions, and fears, and prayers. I wonder what most you might have been experiencing. We can't tell this story this morning without recognizing that it happens in Jerusalem, that only about 100 kilometers away is the conflict in Gaza, that that war is affecting everyone, where hopes and plans and dreams are dashed and loved ones are gone. In fact, I read this week that in besieged Gaza that Palestinians have revived traditional cooking methods of making certain kinds of bread that is unleavened and flat, that's cooked on a hot metal dome, and that neighbors are gathering around to share their bread together. I wonder what we do when all seems lost. Perhaps the God is known to us in the breaking of the bread will find us. I was reminded of a youth leader who spent lots of time teaching and praying and playing with his youth, having amazing activities. And then when one of his youth went off to war, when he enlisted in the military and then was in service, he would get these postcards back from this youth who didn't want to write to his mom and dad and tell him how hard it was where he was. And what he would write back to him was words of prayers, ancient prayers that people in the church have prayed for generations. He was reminded that when we pray the words that others have prayed, it meets us in our hardest hours. Those same words meet us when we encounter the hardest losses in our world. When we pray to Jesus, Son of God, have mercy on us. When we pray the Jesus Prayer, they call it, or the Lord's Prayer. When we ask in those first lines of the Lord's Prayer, give us this day our daily bread. When we're not sure what to ask for, we begin with that nourishment. When we're not sure what to do next, or we're walking away from an ending, when we're not sure where to go or how, we go to the practices or the people that we trust. We hold on to the things that give us life, that have met us. Which reminds me of one of my favorite stories. During the bombing raids of World War II, thousands of children were orphaned and hungry. And the fortunate ones were placed in refugee camps where they received food and good care. But many of these children who'd lost so much could not sleep at night. And they feared waking up to find themselves once again homeless and without food. Nothing seemed to reassure them, no matter what compassionate and kind people did, until finally someone hit upon the idea of giving each child a piece of bread to hold at bedtime. Holding their bread, these children could finally sleep in peace. All through the night, the bread reminded them, "Today I ate, and tomorrow I will eat again." We have sleeping with bread stories amongst us. Every time we come to the communion table, we're reminded of the hope and gift of life in Christ. Today I ate, and tomorrow I will eat again. Not only is this story written on our hearts this morning, it's the work of art that informs our worship each week in the stained glass window behind me. Often people arrive here and they think it's the story of the Last Supper, but it's the story of Emmaus Road. It's our memorial stained glass chancel window. It's been here in the sanctuary since 1954. It has reminded us to gather and be at table, that we share in the bread and the cup of the covenant every time we gather, wherever we are, whatever the bread. But it calls us to face our doubts and to step into the faith of knowing the risen one and expecting him to meet us when we most need him. Now, Isla often reminds me of a time when little Jamie Hutchinson was here looking up at the window and wondering why Jesus was holding a hamburger bun. Because the bread is round. He reminded her that we meet Jesus in the bread that we share in our daily meals. For some of us, we love a McDonald's hamburger. For others, that is not what you would choose for your comfort food. But when those two disciples were most alone and sad, they met Jesus in the breaking of the bread. And isn't that what we do when we care for people who have lost? We find food and we bring it to them. We bring them casseroles, nourishment, homemade soup, and bread. It can be anything on your list. And it can be food shared with a loved one that is just as simple as a peanut butter sandwich or being with someone heating up a meal. The act of offering bread, food to another is nourishment for our soul and for our body. And so this story informs us. It invites us to look for the stranger to become the Christ. Once we have been fed, this window each week reminds me, I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. It calls us out to share bread together. I invite you to pay attention to who are you eating with? Who are you spending time with? Whose meal is it to be shared that you're missing? And who else might come and be at your table? We've gone through a whole season of not even being able to be at table together because it didn't feel safe. And in this time, as we're remembering who we are as followers of Jesus, we come back to the table. Gandhi said, there are people in the world so hungry that God can only appear to them in the form of bread. It doesn't matter what we say about this table. It matters how we live into this story. In the simple act of breaking bread, we discover a profound connection to God and to one another. It's a deep knowing. This knowing happens in the breaking of the bread, but it requires something of us. This kind of knowing calls us to move beyond solely thinking about our faith, to open our hearts to the entire way of being where Christ meets us. And we'll trust that he'll reveal himself in those with whom we eat. And so on this day, with the reminder that you're connected, whether you're a new member or a long time, whether you're visiting or have not imagined yet how Islington might fit into your life, this story is informing all of us to notice where Christ is meeting us, to spend our time at table together, and to offer to share what we have with others. We can't tell this story without having communion today. May Jesus be known to us in the breaking of the bread. Thanks for listening, friends. For other ways to connect, go to islingtonunited.org. May God's wisdom and love keep finding you.